my name is Peter Teagle. I come originally from Cheshire, but I live in Oxford with my family, who are here today somewhere.
And what is the most interesting place you've ever been to?
Well, I've lived in a few places. We lived in China for a year and in Singapore for 4 years. My wife comes from Singapore. And both were very interesting, but I have to say the most curious place I've been to was Kosovo. It's a beautiful country. It's a European country, but in some ways very, very different from the rest of Europe.
Okay. And what do you do and why are you here?
Okay. I'm here because you invited me. Well, we live and work in Oxford, as I said, and we do a job which involves encouraging churches to welcome the many international students who come to Oxford every year. Oxford is a world-famous place. It's not a very big place. But we encourage churches to invite international students into their homes. And also, my job involves teaching the Bible. And it's something which I see as a great privilege and something I enjoy, to tell people what the Bible says, perhaps if they've never even opened the Bible before. And that's a great privilege.
Okay. I'll leave you to bring God's word to us.
One thing I didn't just say just now is that we lived for many years in Birmingham, for 6 years in Birmingham. And looking around, we see many familiar faces, so it's good to be back here. Right. PowerPoint. Do we have any PowerPoint? If you're a visitor today, you should have received a little book like this, a little red book. Wave them at me if you've got them. Okay. This is part of the Bible. Now, I don't know if you've ever read the Bible. The Bible is a big book. And if someone says, have you ever read the Bible? And you look at it, it's so big, you think, where can I possibly start? But lots of people are interested to have a look. And so what we've done today is to give you part of the Bible. The Bible is actually not one book, but 66 separate books written by different people at different times, all telling different parts of the same story. And this book is part of that story. I would have to say, without a doubt, that this book is the most important book you will ever read in your life. When you come to university, you read lots of books. But do not go home without having read this book, because it is the answer to life's questions. There are lots of important questions that we ask ourselves. Who will we marry? What job shall we do? What career shall we pursue? What shall I study? But there are more important questions even than those. And today, I'd like us to look at three of those questions. The first question is, does God exist? Is there a God? The second question is, if God does exist, what is he like? What kind of God exists? What do you mean by the word God? And thirdly, if God exists, how can I know him? How can I somehow connect with God? You can see, can't you, that even by answering the first question, if the answer to the first question is yes, that has profound meaning for all of our lives. It changes everything. So, the first question, does God exist? There was once a scientist who heard about a very rare and unusual bird that lived deep in the jungles of South America. So he tried to find it. He set off and he searched and he searched, and after months of searching, he could not find this bird. So he came home and he wrote a book about his experience and said, I have been there, I have looked, I have seen no evidence to suggest that this bird exists. This bird does not exist. There is no bird. Meanwhile, another scientist also heard about the same bird, and he also went looking for it. And after months of searching, he found it. He couldn't bring it back with him, so he made lots of notes, and he came home, and he too wrote a book about his experience of discovering this bird and all about the bird. Two books. One written to say there is no bird. The other book written as an eyewitness account of the very same bird. Which book would you rather read? Which book would you pay more attention to? I don't know about you, but I would much rather read the book written by the man who found the bird rather than the man who didn't. Both men suggested that they had evidence to back up their case, but actually only one of them had evidence. The other one just had the absence of evidence. And the absence of evidence doesn't mean you haven't found, doesn't mean to say that something doesn't exist. It just means you haven't found it yet. When I say to my wife, I can't find my diary, I can't find it anywhere. She says, it's in your office. And I'll say, it's not, I've looked. And she'll go to my office, and a minute later she's found it. There was once in my life that I found myself arguing as if I was the first scientist. I had looked for God and not found him. So I assumed that God did not exist. And soon I found that I was arguing with people who didn't just think God might exist, they knew he existed because they had met him, because they knew him personally. And soon I found that the evidence that I was using to present my argument was no evidence at all, simply proof that I had not found him yet. So the first question, is there a God? Well, in answer to that, I'd like to introduce you to two men, both called John. The first John is the writer of this book. He's one of the followers of Jesus. He's one of the closest followers of Jesus, and his book is an eyewitness account of somebody who has seen and known God personally. Also, in the passage that I would like to read to us, actually I didn't read this out earlier, he talks about another man also called John, who is a prophet, a messenger from God. So if you'll turn to this now, I'm going to read the first half chapter. It's very important to remember when we're reading this part, you'll come across a word, W-O-R-D, word. And if you're reading this for the first time, you need to know that when it refers to the word word, with a capital W, it's referring to Jesus, okay? Good news told by John, chapter 1, the word of life. Before the world was created, the word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. And this was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all mankind. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried out, "This is the one I was talking about when I said he comes after me, but he is greater than I am because he existed before I was born. Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is John's personal eyewitness account. I have seen God. Sometimes people find God when they're not looking for him. I have a friend who I used to try and talk to about God. And one evening, he and I went out together and I tried to encourage him to find out a little bit more about God. And I gave him something to read. And actually, in the end, we didn't talk very much. And he went home, he was tired, and he took what I had given him and he just put it aside. He got into bed. And then he heard a voice, a very clear, audible voice. "I love you." And he was amazed. There was nobody else in the room. And the voice came again, "I love you." And for the next 2 hours, he sat there, stunned by sensing the presence of God. And this voice again and again saying, "I love you." For the next few days, he didn't really know what had happened. So he turned to the Bible and he started to read it. And eventually he came across the answers to the question, what was that about? And he realized that he had met with God. God had shown him his love and he had responded to it. And it completely changed his life, even when he wasn't looking for it. But the question, does God exist, is not really the question which is on most people's minds. The real question on a lot of people's minds is, I kind of accept that God exists, or some force or some power behind the universe exists, but what is it? What is God like? What kind of God are you talking about? And this book also begins to answer that question. In many different cultures around the world, people believe this. They believe that there's some kind of force or some kind of power, some kind of God behind the universe. If I did a poll of all the international students in Oxford, I would think that probably most of them would agree that there's some kind of existence beyond what we can see. And many different philosophies have tried to answer this question. What is it, this thing that we all sense? Well, this book was not originally written in English. It was written some 2,000 years ago in Greek. And Greek people, like many other cultures around the world, wondered and thought about this power behind the universe. And they didn't actually come up with any particular answers. And they decided, really, it was a bit of a mystery. But they decided to call this mystery a name. And they called it Logos. L-O-G-O-S. That word, Logos, loosely translates into English as the word Word, W-O-R-D. It doesn't translate very well into English. You may be surprised to find it translates much better into Chinese with the word Tao. The concept of Logos and the understanding that somehow there's this force out there which we can't quite understand is more similar in Chinese than it is in English. It's interesting. But John doesn't say, well, let's go back to philosophy to find the answer to this. He doesn't say, go back to Greek philosophy or Chinese philosophy or any other kind of philosophy, because I've got the answer here. I know the answer to this question, which different cultures have been asking for centuries, because I've met him, because I know him, because I've spoken with him, I've sat down and I've eaten with him. His name is Jesus Christ. But actually, there's another way in which John describes God. He uses the word Father. Father. So what is God like? He is a father. My son Sam is a little bit like me. Looks a little bit more like his mum, but in personality, in many ways, he's like me. If you want to get to know me, get to know him first, you'll get an idea. But with Jesus, Jesus is exactly like his father. So if we want to know what God is like, we find out what Jesus is like, and he's identical. So what is God like? He is a father. He's exactly like Jesus Christ. So if God exists, and if Jesus Christ shows us who God is, and I can read about him in this book, How can I actually connect with him? How can I actually get to know him? Well, there's a bit of a problem. Jonathan was talking just now about parents. And I'm sure that you will agree that it's very important to respect our parents, yes? In my culture, it's important, but in many other cultures, it's very, very important. Having married into a Singaporean family, I know that it's very important to honor, to respect parents, to listen to their opinions, to consider what their wishes are, to bring them honor. And the truth is, though, that however good that we are to our earthly parents, there is one parent, one father, who all of us have failed to honor. And even if we've never thought about it before, if it's true that God exists, and if he is a father, then we have not listened to his opinions. We have not respected his wishes. We have not spent time with him, wanting to know what he wants for our lives and seeking to honor him. And so the relationship with God as Father and us is broken. It's not a good relationship. Actually, the problem is more serious than that. Because God is not just a Father. He's also a judge. Now, I don't know if you have any lawyers in this room, but if somebody's working as a judge during the day, he has to act in a very different way than he does when he gets home to his children. He cannot act towards his children as a judge. If he did, we would say, poor children. But likewise, he cannot act towards people in the court of law as if they were his children. He has to act very differently. If somebody comes into the court accused and found guilty of a crime, and the judge says, I sentence you to so many years in prison, and sends him away, the next day his own son comes into the court, accused, found guilty of the same crime, and the judge says, well, you're my son, never mind. Just don't do it again, and don't tell anybody. We couldn't do that. No matter how much we may sympathize with the judge and say, well, I would understand. You cannot do that, because that would be wrong. And so God is stuck in this situation where he wants to reach out to us and treat us as if we are his children, but he cannot, because he also has to be judge. That is a problem that God faces. But the solution to this problem was that God had one son who never disobeyed him, who always honored him, who always listened to his opinions and respected him. And God sent that son, Jesus, to be treated as a criminal, to die a criminal's death, so that God could actually do the job of judge, and the wrong things that we have done, which cut us off from that relationship with God, God can punish. God punished Jesus instead of us. That's a hard thing. But God wanted to do that so that he could be free to treat us as his children. The good news is that because Jesus was innocent and because Jesus was God himself, he didn't stay dead but rose again from the dead on the third day. But then God is free now to pack up his bags as a judge, no longer treat us as a judge, but treat us as a father, if we will accept that. So how do I accept that? How do I experience that? How can this happen for me? How can I experience God as my Father? Well, verse 12 in the passage that we read gives us the answer to that question. Some, however, did receive him, receive Jesus, and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They received him and they believed in him. The word believe means to agree in your mind that something is true. This may surprise you, but to believe something is an act of the will. You decide to believe something. And we have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. We decide to believe on the evidence of eyewitnesses like John and the folks who were up here before and myself and millions of Christians who have lived before, that God is real and Jesus is who he says he is. But to believe means a little bit more than that. To believe means to trust that something is true and to live as it is true. So when God says to me, you believe in Jesus, you can have a relationship with me and you can live in relationship with me, we have to live trusting that that is true. But secondly, we are to receive him. When you receive a guest, you welcome them. When someone comes to my home, I receive them as a guest. I open my door and I say, come in, feel at home here. I want you to feel like you're comfortable here, that you're at home here. I want to honor you as my guest. And that's exactly what we need to do with Jesus. We need to welcome him. We need to receive him into our lives, not just for an evening, but for the rest of our lives. And that is what we need to do, to open up the way to God. So to enjoy that relationship with God as Father, we need to believe who Jesus is and welcome him into our lives. Is that too simple? It sounds so easy, doesn't it? Can it really be that simple? In one sense, yes, it is that simple. You say, well, surely I must do something. Surely I must work hard to get God's approval. Or surely I must pay something or give something or do something. No. Because some things in life are too important, too precious, too valuable to earn. When I met my wife, I didn't pay for her to love me. I didn't earn my way into her life. I accepted her love. To do anything else would to make it less valuable. And it's the same with God's amazing gift. But in another sense, it isn't quite so easy. Because it means a total change of life. It means that when I accept Jesus, when I welcome Jesus into my life, it means my Father is God. And he is the one whose opinions I need to listen to and respect and honor. And the problem is that we live in a world where most people don't know or don't care what God thinks. So being a Christian is not easy. But I have to say, it is worth it. It's not joining some religion. It's living as a believer in Jesus and a follower of Jesus where God is Father, a life filled with meaning and hope and joy and the tremendous satisfaction that we have asked the three most important questions in life and have found the answers. I wouldn't do anything else. Being a Christian sometimes takes more guts, more courage than I can sometimes manage, but I wouldn't do anything else because it is the answer that I've found. It is real. Jesus is real. And God is my Father. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you that voice that my friend heard, I love you, is true of everybody in this room, whether we hear that voice directly or not. That you love us, that you care for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll open our eyes to understand what I've just said. And if there's anybody here who would like to say, yes, I would like to welcome Jesus into my life, I pray you give them the courage to do that right now. We thank you that in Jesus we can have forgiveness. In Jesus we can have a new life. And I pray that folks here who perhaps don't know him now will know him soon and experience that joy of following you. Amen.